If you'll turn in your Bibles, please, to the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 24. We're going to begin reading at verse 1 and read through verse 12. Now, here at Central Presbyterian, we believe the Bible is the only infallible rule to guide us in our faith and in our practice. That is what we believe and how we act. Therefore, to know God's will for our lives, we must hear God's Word. God does speak to us through Scripture. Hear what He says in this portion of His Word. But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. Our meditation on this Easter Sunday is the road to the empty grave, eternal life. Our text, but on the first day of the week at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. May God bless to us this reading from His holy word. To His name be praise and glory forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us pray. God, you have a word to speak to us today, a word we need to hear, a word about life. Open our hearts and minds to hear what the Spirit would say to us today. May Jesus be magnified now, for we ask it in His name. Amen. Why is Easter so important? Why is it that even those only nominally related to the church come on Easter Sunday? So often people come to church to get their babies baptized, to get their young people married, and to get their loved ones who've passed on buried. As some wag has put it, they come to the church when loved ones are hatched, matched, and dispatched. But they also come on Easter. And why is that? I think it is because all of us realize, however dimly, that something very basic to life is involved in Easter. You see, death is a grim reality. And the older we get, the more grim it gets and the more real it becomes. But Easter says that death is not the end. Easter says there's something beyond death. So no matter how callous we are or how irreligious we are deeply curious about that. No one really wants to die. So if something or someone comes along and has a word to say that tells us death isn't the end, we are indeed deeply curious to hear about it. In recent years, there has been a growing body of literature about experiences people have had when they became clinically dead for a brief period of time. And the books written about those experiences have hit the top of the bestseller list. Why? For the simple reason that all of us wants to know what happens to us when we die. Don't you want to know? Aren't you curious about what will happen to you when death comes? Or maybe you're like the man who prayed, Lord, I'm not a bad person and I don't deserve to go to hell. But Lord, on the other hand, I'm not really good enough to go to heaven. So I guess the only thing for you to do, Lord, is to leave me here. But the fact is, since death is a grim reality for all of us, we have a wonderment about it. Well, the Bible speaks to this wondering. And the first point I want to make this morning is this: death is our enemy. Death brings to an end all that we know and love and cherish. You may not have realized this, but the first book of the Bible, Genesis, begins by talking about death. And the last book of the Bible, Revelation, ends the same way. In Genesis, when God created man and commanded that he not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he put a punishment on rebellion and disobedience to his command. God said, the day that you eat of it, you shall die. So right in the beginning, something ominous and bad is injected into human history: death. And then the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, also speaks of death. Therefore we read, behold, the dwelling of God is with men. That's when heaven comes. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be with them. Now this: he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. So what happened in Genesis is reversed in Revelation. Death shall be no more. So the Bible tells us that death is bad. Death is the punishment for rebellion and disobedience against God. And when heaven comes, that bad thing called death will be no more. Isn't that what St. Paul once said? He wrote, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Easter is important then because it addresses the question about death. The Bible says this about the resurrection of Jesus from death: if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sin. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Jesus have perished. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all men most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been risen from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. That's from the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Do you understand that? The Bible tells us that God raised Jesus from the dead. He is the first fruits of the dead. Now you know what the first fruits are. If you plant a tomato plant and wait till after the frost, as I didn't, and now I've got to replant, the tomatoes begin to grow. And the day comes when one of those tomatoes has grown large and begins to turn red. And you watch it as it ripens. Finally, the day comes when it's ready and you pluck it. That tomato is your first fruit. And because you've got that first ripe tomato, you know the others will ripen too. Even though they may be just a blossom, or they may be small and hard and green, you have the confidence that they too will one day be ready to pick. That's because you have already gotten the first fruit. It's the promise. It's the guarantee that the others will get ripe in just that fashion. Well, now that's what Easter means. God raised Jesus from the dead. He is the first fruit of what will happen to all the rest of us. And we can believe in life after death. We can believe in the resurrection because we have seen the first fruit. Now that's pretty exciting, don't you think? I know that I will die, but I have faith. I have confidence that death doesn't have the last word on me. And I can believe that because God raised Jesus. Just as God raised him, I have the promise that he will raise me also. Indeed, the last enemy, death, has been defeated. So the Christian understands death for what it is. It is the enemy. Death is bad. Death is evil. Death is against life. Death is against what God intended for you and for me. But we don't have to be afraid of death because it isn't the last word. Jesus is God's last word. Jesus raised from the dead is God's promise, a promise to you and you and to you and a promise to me. Have you ever read an Agatha Christie mystery novel or seen one of her plays or one of the movies made about one of her books? She was a master storyteller. Now, my wife is an Agatha Christie fan, but she confesses that never once in any of the books she's read has she been able to figure out who the culprit in the story was until the last page. But suppose you are in the middle of a Christie mystery, and then you turn over and you read the last page. You find out how the story ends. Now you go back and you finish reading the book. But there's no longer a mystery. You know a secret. You know how the book ends. Well, that is what the resurrection of Jesus does to the mystery of life. We Christians know a secret. We know the ending. We know how things turn out. We know that death is defeated and there is life at the end. Now, we theologians have a phrase for that. You know, we like to make up high-sounding phrases so you laymen will think we know something you don't. And we call this by the term realized eschatology. Eschatology has to do with the end things, and it means simply that the end is revealed in the middle. Realized eschatology, and you might try that dropping it at the bridge club or, you know, at a party. Say, oh, have you thought about realized eschatology? And it means simply that in the middle of the book, we've already read the last page. We know how things will turn out. Well, now, there are a lot of secondary questions we have. For example, what happens to our loved ones when they die? If we are raised from the dead, what kind of a body do we have? When will the resurrection occur? What will heaven be like? Will we know each other in heaven? Can our loved ones who are in heaven now know what's going on in our lives here on earth? So there are a lot of secondary questions. And incidentally, the Bible tells us the answer to every one of those questions. It may not give us all the details we would like to have, but it addresses those questions. But the big question, the primary question, the number one question is answered at Easter. Is there life after death? And the road to the tomb answers that question. It says yes, because the tomb is empty. As St. Paul puts it, for as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. However, there's one other question I would like to deal with this morning, and that question is this. When does this resurrected life, when does this eternal life begin? And the reason I raise this question is because I suspect most of us have a wrong idea about the beginning of resurrection or the beginning of eternal life. I suspect most of us have a concept that runs something like this. We live our lives here on earth. We grow old and then we die. Then when the final judgment day comes, we all stand before God. And God weighs the good in our lives against the bad we have done. And if the scales tip in our favor, then we get to go to heaven and get to live eternally with God. Is that sort of how you figured it? Well, if that's the case, let me warn you that you are wrong. It isn't that way at all. Eternal life does not begin after you die. Heaven isn't awarded to you after you're dead. You see, either you have eternal life now, or you will not have it then. Do you know who told us that? It was Jesus himself. He said that God gave his only Son that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have, present tense, have eternal life. And then he added, he who does not believe is condemned already. You don't have to wait, you're already condemned. Every person here this morning is going to die physically. A number of us in this sanctuary will not be here next year. We'll be dead. It may be a young person who is killed in a terrible accident. It may be a middle-aged person who has a sudden heart attack or who has cancer. It may be an older person whose body simply wears out. But not all of us listening to the sound of my voice will be here next year. And eventually, all of us will die physically. But some of us will not only die physically, we will be dead spiritually as well. We will be dead spiritually then because we are dead spiritually this morning. You see, eternal life does not begin in the future. Either you are spiritually alive this morning and have eternal life right now, or you are spiritually dead. Now, if you take your right hand and feel your left wrist with your fingertips, you can feel your pulse beating. And as long as that pulse beats, you're alive physically. But when it stops, your body is dead. If you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, however, you are alive spiritually. You have eternal life. But how about your spiritual pulse? Can you feel it beating? If you do, it will never stop. You will live for all eternity. But if it's not beating now, it will never start. Never until you accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Now, have you done that? Easter is important, and we all come to church on Easter because it deals with the most fundamental issue of human existence, the question of eternal life. Does death and the grave have the last word? And Easter responds, no. No, it doesn't have the last word if we have Jesus. Do you remember how John the Baptist put it? He said, he who believes in the Son has eternal life. He who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God rests upon him. Easter answers the question, is eternal life possible? But the question Easter raises is this, do I have eternal life? Well, do you? Let us pray. God, Easter doesn't mean a thing unless we have Jesus. I pray for each of us this morning, some of us who may be in a spiritual coma, some of us who are spiritually dead, I pray for us that we'll find life this morning, life in Jesus, inviting him to become our Savior, and in receiving him, having eternal life. Oh Lord, I pray that for all of us In Jesus' name, amen.